Welcome to the 448th episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast. Stay tuned for my interview with writer Elizabeth Chatsworth, author of the debut novel, The Brass Queen. Stay tuned for the interview. Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Elizabeth Chatsworth, author of the debut novel, The Brass Queen. Elizabeth, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thank you very much for having me.
Sure. Well, if someone hasn't heard yet about your debut novel, The Brass Queen, how would you describe the novel?
It's a gas lamp fantasy or a steampunk adventure or a romantic fantasy in an alternate history, a Victorian world with steampunk inventions. So it depends on your take, but basically it's adventure, comedy, and romance in a steampunk world.
And do you remember the original impetus or idea that led you to write The Brass Queen?
Absolutely. So I was rapidly approaching my 50th birthday, and I had never written fiction in my life, even though I've always been an avid reader. And I was lamenting to my husband of all the things I hadn't done, including writing a book, because, of course, that's almost everybody's goal at some stage in their life. One day I should write a book. And he said, why don't you write one? And so I said, I have no idea where to start. So he suggested signing up for a writing class. So I actually signed up for an online writing class with David Farland. And the first exercise was a world-building exercise. And so I wrote about the steampunk world because my husband and I were very interested in steampunk. We went to the conventions. We put steampunk cosplay, all these things. And I just did this exercise about this world where this airship attack happens during a debutante's ball. And David loved it so much, he said, you really should turn this exercise into an entire book. And that's what I did, even though I had no experience. And over the next 6 years, I've been writing the draft and going through the revisions and going through the publishing maze until finally this week it's actually being published. So it's been quite a journey from absolutely no experience to holding the hardcover in my hands.
And so how was the process once you had it written of finding a publisher?
Oh gosh, it was an entire roller coaster journey, lots of thrills and spills. So the initial draft took me a year because I was a beginner. I was a slow writer. I edited as I went along, not knowing that I would be revising it later. And my path to the completed draft was probably about 8 to 10 pages a week, which is quite slow, but it was what it was. So once I had the first draft finished, I submitted it to a contest called Pitch Wars. You can check it out at pitchwars.org. So essentially, that is a mentoring contest. You enter the first chapter or two of your manuscript, and if selected, you work with a mentor for 3 months to perfect your manuscript in preparation for submitting it to agents. So this is quite early on in the publishing process you do this, but it's a free contest to enter, and I strongly recommend anyone who has a manuscript ready at their opening times, which is several times during the year, to submit it there. So I submitted it. I was lucky enough to get picked. And then I worked with two mentors, Leonie Kelso and Marty Mabry, to try and turn my draft into something that an agent would consider. Because if you want to go the publishing route, then an agent is your first step toward doing that, because many of the larger or traditional publishers won't accept unsolicited manuscripts from new authors. They want everything to be gatekept by an agent. So trying to get one of those, if you want to go the traditional path, and of course there are many paths to publication, is one of the steps you have to take. So 3 months of intense revision, we submitted The Brass Queen into the Agent Showcase. And this is an online forum where agents come and they review your pitch. Your pitch is essentially a very short summary of your book. It's a paragraph or two at the most, which details the essence of your book. And it's absolutely critical. That is well-honed and suitable for a prime-time audience before you submit your manuscript anywhere. Because if the agents don't like your pitch, they are not going to read your entire manuscript. So my pitch went on to the agent showcase, and I got 10 requests for the full manuscript from various agents who review this showcase amongst all the other contestants. And I thought, that's it, job done. I've now had my manuscript requested. It's probably going to be published in, 2 months. Great, it's all over. And it was not the case at all, because if your listeners are at all familiar with the world of publishing, everything takes forever and nothing goes as planned. So although I had all these requests, months and months went by where I hadn't heard anything. So I decided to start sending out requests to the queries to other agents. That involves crafting a query letter, which takes your initial pitch and just expands on it slightly to get the agent's attention, usually with a sample of something like a few pages up to a first chapter or even up to the first 50 pages of your book. So I went through that rounds using a tool called Query Tracker to keep track of what I had done. Once I had submitted various rounds of that, I eventually signed with an agent. So again, I thought, this is it. I'm about to get published. Job done. No, that was not the case. Because although she submitted it to all the different publishers and so on, my book is a gaslamp fantasy, it's a steampunk comedy, it's a romantic fantasy, it's cross-genre. Cross-genre books can appeal to a lot of different readers. They can have mainstream appeal, and they're just wonderful books to read, but they are hard to categorize. And believe it or not, publishing is a business, and it's all about money, and it's about categorizing your book into a marketing spot on the bookshelves so that the publishers can say, okay, these are the labels we attach to this particular book, and this is who it will appeal to. And if your book in any way crosses genres, it can be difficult for them to do that. So the responses I got from all the publishers was, we love the book, it's funny, it's adventurous, it's wonderful, it's fantastic world building, blah, blah, but we have no idea how to sell it, so we'll have to pass. So that's a little bit of a downer after you've been through all this process. But one of the main things to keep you going through all this is just knowing that it's not about you personally, it's just about how will they market your book. So you have to bear that in mind, and just as long as you've written the best book, you can hold your head up high and keep going. So More hurdles came up. My agent decided to quit the entire industry, which was unfortunate. And then I'm faced with the choice of, do I keep going with this traditional path? Do I start applying to smaller publishers? Do I self-publish? All of these are valid routes to get your work out there, to connect with readers, which is the main reason that we publish in the first place, is to create that connection. After various tumbles, I ended up signing with Camcat Books, who's a small traditional publisher who are new on the scene in genre fiction. So that's sci-fi, fantasy, romance, all the westerns even. They're looking at all different genres. And they signed my book, and we planned the book launch. And then, of course, COVID hit. So I've had several postponed book launches, and it's finally coming out on Tuesday. So the moral of the story is, overnight success took me about 6 years from when I first got this notion in my head that I should write a book. So if you are on this journey yourself, just know it might take a while. It may not go as planned, but eventually, if you stick it out, you will probably get to where you want to be.
That's a great story. I'm curious, are there writers or novels that inspired you along the way of this journey that you just described?
Oh, yes. I mean, even as a child, I always loved fantasy and science fiction. Basically, if it had aliens or cyborgs or demons and dragons, whatever it was that had a fantastical element, that's what I loved. So from reading Tolkien up to all the different Shannara novels, all those things. And when I was a teenager, I was very interested in science fiction and fantasy humor, because humor is one of the driving things behind everything I write. So I was very inspired by Douglas Adams and The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. My favorite book of all time is Good Omens by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman. And actually, when I came over to live in America 30-odd years ago, apart from a suitcase of clothes, the only thing I brought with me was my hardcover of Good Omens, because I love the book that much. I had the first edition from 1990, and it's the one thing I couldn't leave behind in England, because it's my comfort read. It's what I always want to read. And I think Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett, for me, have those wonderful elements of the fantastic and also an enduring love for humanity, for all our flaws and foibles. There's a real admiration for the great things that people can do, all wrapped up with humor and fantastical elements. And that's what I love more than anything in reading a book.
So are you working on another novel now?
Yes, I am. I'm actually going to be writing the sequel to The Brass Queen. So in The Brass Queen, it's set in an alternate Victorian dimension. And we have a cast of unlikely heroes who are thrust into potential world wars and so on, whilst also dealing with the comic aspects of a stolen invisibility serum. So they're in this madcap world where anything can happen. And in book two, our heroes are leaving Sheffield in Yorkshire, which is my hometown, and going off to Europe to battle bad guys and ne'er-do-wells over there, including the thugs from the British Museum, who, as we all know, are the greatest art pirates of all time.
What writing advice would you offer for those who are working on their own stories and novels?
I believe that, for me, one of the things that works best is, before you even begin writing, is to imagine the entire story like a movie. Just play it out in your head from start to finish. There may be cloudy moments and fade outs where you're not sure where things go, but essentially, get that image in your head. See the characters, see it like a TV show or a movie, and then start your writing. Because I found, if you view your story as if it's a movie, you can, as the editor, move backwards and forwards in this mental movie to zoom in or zoom out to actually bring your characters into relief, or to focus, for instance, on the setting or on a particular item in the setting, or a moment of drama with dialogue. And that perspective, I think, helps gives you a handle on the story as a whole, versus, which is what I did when I first started, was having a blank piece of paper and sweating furiously over getting the exact words right in one sentence and then the next sentence. Yes, if I had stepped back a little bit more and taken the cinematic view, I think I would have found it a lot easier to put those words down on paper.
That's good advice. So what fiction or nonfiction books have you read recently that you enjoyed?
Let's see. I read a nonfiction book by Donald Mass. I can't remember the exact title, but it was useful in that it was talking about the different imagery of how to really create a vibrant picture that has emotional resonance for your reader. I always recommend the books by my mentor, David Farland, because he has been working with beginning writers for decades, and his way of explaining things makes even of a complete beginner like me understand exactly what is going, what he's suggesting, and you can apply it easily to your own works. So I would definitely recommend all his nonfiction books. If you're looking for genre books on how to really make the most of your particular genre, one of the ones, if you want to write a romance subplot, is by Gwen Hayes. Let's see. trying to remember the exact title. Of course, I'm one of these people who, if they see a movie or a TV show or read a book, I remember the essence of it, but I never remember the titles. And the same applies to song lyrics, actually. When I try to sing along with a song, my husband asks me to stop because I invariably mess up all the lyrics. Let's see. So Glenn Hayes is, yes, I can't see the actual title from here. I've got bookcases over here, but I can't actually see them. Anyway, so those are all great books that can help. If in terms of fiction, I am currently reading a book called Goldspun, which is not yet released, which is a Rumpelstiltskin retelling by my co-author at Camcat, Brandy, which is absolutely wonderful. Another Camcat author is Dead End Michael Bradley. He has written a thriller that was fun. And also there is a gentleman called Jason Offit at my publisher as well, who's written a wonderful time travel sci-fi novel called So You Had to Build a Time Machine, which is, I think the title basically says everything about it that you need to know. It's comedy, it's sci-fi, and so on. Unfortunately, for the last few months, I haven't been casting my net too wide because as a member of a small new publishing company, one does have a responsibility and also a desire to read and help fellow authors. And I think if your readers are joining smaller publishers, that team effort, that camaraderie is very important. You want to help your fellow authors to develop their works to the best of their ability. And you also want their feedback on your works in progress and so on as well. So that's, if you are going with a smaller author, just bear in mind that if you're a team player, you'll get more out of the experience than if you're sitting on the sidelines.
That's great. Where can people find you online if they want to learn more about you and your novel?
Well, my website is www.elizabethchatsworth.com. And essentially, you'll find a summary of The Brass Queen there. And we've just launched a book trailer. There's all the reviews and so on. And currently, there is a pre-order offer. If anyone is interested in the book, there are 3 sample chapters on the website where you can get all sorts of goodies. So do check it out and see if it's your cup of tea.
Great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Elizabeth Chatsworth, author of the debut novel, The Brass Queen. The book is on sale now, so go buy a copy. And Elizabeth, thanks for doing this interview.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.